If you ever looked around and felt that really uncomfortable question, you know, the one where you see some people who seem to, well, ignore all the rules, maybe even do wrong, but they seem to live these incredibly comfortable, prosperous lives.
Yeah, while others who are really trying just struggle, it's a tough thing to reconcile.
It really is. It feels unfair. And it's something many of us feel, but, you know, maybe don't say out loud much.
Exactly. It challenges our sense of how things should be.
Well, today we're diving deep into a really powerful ancient text that tackles this exact dilemma head on the 21st chapter of the book of Job.
Ah, Job 21, a fascinating and challenging piece.
Our mission here is to unpack Job's, honestly, quite radical perspective on justice and prosperity. We want to pull out the wisdom it
I
offers.
mean, connect it, right? See what it means for us today, for our own trust, our relationship with God, especially when life feels messy.
Precisely. Okay, let's get into it because Job, he does not shy away from the hard questions, and his insights might just challenge some of our own assumptions.
That's putting it mildly.
So Job is in the middle of immense suffering, as we know. And his friends have this very neat theology. Suffering means sin, blessing means righteousness. Simple.
Too simple, as Job points out. They basically tell him, "You must have done something awful, Job."
But Job pushes back hard. He tells them basically, listen, just listen. He wants them to look past their tidy doctrines and see the world as it actually is.
And he does this by pointing to things they can't really deny, observations from real life.
He asks them straight up, doesn't he? Something like, why do the wicked live on, grow old, become mighty in power?
Yes. Their children are established before them, their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. He lists it all out.
Neither is the rod of God upon them. That's the line that really hits, I think.
It completely undermines their argument about Job's own suffering being God's punishment. He's saying, look, if suffering is always punishment, why aren't these guys suffering?
Right. He's not just whining. He's using logic, observation. He sees them flourish, live long, enjoy wealth, peace. Their families are secure.
Untouched. Seemingly by divine judgment.
It gets even more stark. He says they might even openly reject God.
Yeah, he quotes them as saying things like, "Depart from us. We don't want to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What profit is there in praying to him?"
Open defiance, dismissal.
And yet,
And yet, they continue to prosper. No immediate visible judgment. No lightning bolts like you might expect from their friend's theology.
it's a powerful counter-narrative. But then Job takes it a step further, doesn't he? He looks at the end game.
He does. He points out that ultimately, everyone faces the same fate, death.
One dies in his full strength, completely at ease and quiet. Another dies in bitterness of soul.
They lie down alike in the dust, and the worms cover them. It's a great leveler.
Doesn't matter how rich or wicked, how poor or righteous you were in life, death comes to all. Prosperity doesn't buy you out of that.
Exactly. It puts earthly success into a very different perspective. And after laying all this out, he basically tells his friends their comfort is empty. He accuses them of distorting the truth just to make their own theories work.
Pretty strong stuff. He's saying, your answers don't fit reality, and they certainly don't help me.
So what's fascinating here, as you said, is that he's not just complaining. He's systematically dismantling this common assumption that there's always an immediate visible link between actions and outcome.
Right. He's forcing an acknowledgement of a painful truth. Sometimes the bad guys do seem to win, at least for a while, and simplistic formulas don't always explain the world.
It feels incredibly relevant even thousands of years later. We still see this, still wrestle with it.
We absolutely do.
So, okay, this ancient wrestling match. It really exposes a raw nerve, doesn't it? But how do we take this, Job's brutal honesty, and use it? How does it actually help strengthen our trust in God when things don't seem fair?
That's the crucial question. And I think Job 21 offers some profound wisdom here, wisdom that really cuts through a lot of the noise today. It helps build a more, let's say, robust faith.
Okay, how so? What's the first step?
Well, first, it forces us to challenge simplistic conclusions, that easy equation. Good people get good things, bad people get bad things. Job blows that up.
He says, look around. It doesn't always work like that.
Exactly. In our world, where success, wealth, status are often seen as signs of, divine favor or just being a good person,
Right, like you manifested it or something.
Job warns us that outward prosperity can be really deceptive. It's not a reliable sign of God's approval or someone's inner goodness.
That forces a reevaluation, doesn't it, of how we judge others, maybe even ourselves.
Absolutely. It means our trust in God can't be based on this transactional, I do good, I get good system. It has to be deeper.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's tough when you see injustice thriving. How do we handle that feeling?
Which leads to the second point. Job models allowing for honest doubt and lament. He shows it's okay, even necessary, to be brutally honest with God.
To actually say, this doesn't make sense, this feels wrong.
Yes. It's not a lack of faith. It's faith expressing itself through struggle, bringing your confusion, your pain, your anger even, directly to God.
That honesty actually deepens the relationship.
Paradoxically, yes, because it makes it real. Trust is often forged in that wrestling, not in pretending everything's okay or having all the answers.
Okay, so we challenge easy answers and we're honest about our struggles. What else?
Third, Job invites us to embrace mystery. We want certainty, clear cause and effect, immediate justice.
Understandably.
But Job's life and his observations tell us that God's justice doesn't always look like what we expect. It might be delayed or hidden, or maybe its fullness is reserved for, well, beyond this life.
So accepting that we won't always understand why.
Exactly. It's about humility, trusting God's ultimate wisdom and justice, even when the immediate picture is confusing or painful, anchoring our trust in God's character, not invisible outcomes right now.
Leaning into the mystery rather than running from it.
Precisely. And that connects to the fourth insight, staying grounded in an eternal perspective.
You mean remembering what Job pointed out about death?
Yes. If the wicked seem to win in this life, Job reminds us that earthly success is temporary. Death levels the playing field.
So don't measure everything by temporary standards.
Right. Evaluate life, our own, and what we see by eternal values. Trust in God has to go deeper than immediate fairness or unfairness. It shifts our focus from what we get now to enduring truth, to God's ultimate plan.
That really reframes things. It makes faith less about immediate results and more about ultimate reality.
That's the core of it. It builds a resilience into our faith that can handle the ambiguities and injustices of life.
Wow. So Job 21 isn't just a complaint. It's a profound deep dive into life's hardest questions. It calls us away from easy answers towards a deeper, more tested trust.
A trust that can acknowledge the darkness and confusion without collapsing.
It definitely challenges us to look past the surface, doesn't it? To cultivate a faith that holds firm even when justice seems, well, missing in action.
It's a call to a more mature faith, grounded in God's character, not just our circumstances.
So the question for all of us listening then is, how will you apply this? How will you let Job's honesty deepen your trust, your relationship with God, even when you're facing life's unanswered questions?